Good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder and this is BRN AM for Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. Here are your top stories. Amazon could be your next healthcare provider sooner than you think. And Facebook faces a lawsuit that it contends has no merit. Well, it's Technology Tuesday, and we're going to focus our first story on the $3.7 trillion healthcare market. Joining me to talk about Amazon's new Amazon Cares clinic and what that can mean for your healthcare is Daniel Klein, the Motley Fool's senior technology and consumer products reporter. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm a little tired, but raring to go.
There we go. Well, it's Technology Tuesday. So I think our top story, I want to talk to you a little bit about this Amazon moving into healthcare. If you recall, I think we covered this on the podcast about almost a year ago, that Amazon, JP Morgan, and Warren Buffett were looking to partner. And now Amazon is launching Amazon Cares for its employees. Do you think this is the beginning of that venture?
So this is a toe in the water, and it's kind of new ground, but kind of similar to what Teladoc does. So Amazon is offering employees in Seattle access to this program. And the core of the program is really two things. Number one is that you can, just like we're doing now over the internet, have a conversation with a doctor. You can say to the doctor, these are my symptoms, this is what's wrong. And the doctor can make a few choices. He might say, you know what? You need to go see a doctor. Like, you know, you're bleeding from the eyes. That's terrible. Like, you can't do that digitally. Or the doctor might say, like, you know what? I think I know what you need, but I want a nurse to come out. And that's the second component. They have nurses that can come out and do things like a throat culture, take a blood sample, check your blood pressure, maybe show you how to do certain care that you need to do. So it's really taking the doctor process for minor stuff away from the doctor's office. And, you know, have you ever said, all right, it's Monday morning, I have a cold, I am super excited to go to the doctor's office and wait for 90 minutes next to really sick people? Nobody has ever felt that way. So this is one of a bunch of efforts. The other really notable one is CVS. Yeah. CVS is not only putting minute clinics in thousands of its stores, which are pretty easy to use, walk-in, actual doctor, nurses, different levels of healthcare. They're also adding health concierge services to some of their stores, meaning you walk in and you might say, geesh, my eye itches. And the person might say, well, it's really high ragweed right now. Do you normally have allergy problems? And they can direct you. Maybe you do need to see a doctor. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just need some eye drops. So it's taking something that's big and scary and uncomfortable and fixing it. And that's really where Amazon is trying to figure it out. And they're going to guinea pig this on their employees. And if it works, I think you might see it roll out to other companies first. It makes sense to do this with sort of training can be centralized. People who work at the same place probably live within a fairly limited geographical area. So I do think you might see this become a business product for Amazon before it just becomes Amazon Prime Health for everyone.
And this is something that they've done in the past with the retail arm, the bookstore, the cloud. I mean, they tend to do this. They experiment, kind of work out some of the kinks, perhaps with, you know, drones, you know, right? I mean, this is kind of their repartee.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work. I think it's important to know that, like, the Amazon Go store, which we've all heard so much about, there you just walk out with the stuff, it charges you automatically. They've only built a few of them. The Amazon 4-star store, which is a different retail experience, they've only built a few. The bookstore, which I think is lovely, there's a dozen, maybe a few more than that, 20-something. It's not a ton. On the other hand, Amazon lockers are now in every Whole Foods, and I think we've talked about this. I don't remember if it's on air. My building is getting an Amazon locker, meaning that if I have an issue like I did today where I ordered something and for some reason they sent me two and only charged me for one, I could probably be a jerk and just keep it, but it was an expensive item. I'm going to send it back, which means I have to go somewhere to send it back. When the Amazon lockers open, I'll only have to go to my lobby. That's an amazing that, and so if Amazon can bring that kind of convenience to healthcare, it's going to make everyone healthier.
Do you think Americans are even the most savvy technologically? You know, we all carry cell phones. Some of us have Fitbits or Apple Watches. Do you think we're ready? Even the youngest, most savviest of us are ready for this leap?
So I've used Teladoc. It's a part of health insurance I don't have now, but had previously. And it was wonderful. My wife had gone to the doctor. She had strep throat or something similar. I had the same symptoms, and it seems stupid to go to the doctor. So for $25, I jumped online. I held up my wife's prescription. He asked me a few questions, and then he wrote me a prescription. And even, you know, listened when I said I'm allergic to penicillin and made sure I had something that wasn't going to adversely affect me. So do I think the adoption of this can be easier? Yes. When this is a button on your Amazon app that says healthy, question mark, or see a doctor, or whatever it is, this could become very democratic, very simple, and give you access to, you know, might not just be healthcare, it might be well care. I would love to sit down with someone once a month and look at my Fitbit statistics and have them tell me, geesh, you know, you're doing too much of this, or maybe you're doing something wrong if while you're eating, it pushes you into the exercise heart rate, which happens. So, you know, we need to see more of that. And we're at the absolute beginning of this. But yeah, I think the days where everyone goes to a doctor's office is going to be similar to, like, I need one thing. I'm not running to the grocery store anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and I think some people just do not want to go to the doctor's office. They don't want to step on the scale. So does this help preventative medicine, which we know if we can prevent diseases that ultimately are costly, both in terms of lives, but also dollars, does this help get people healthier in this country?
I think there's definitely times with medicine where anonymity works in your favor, especially, like, look, you know, I'm someone, in the last 5 months, I've really seriously trained her 3 times a week, probably can't see it on camera, but I've somewhat transformed my body. Long way to go, not pretending there isn't. But that said, when you're overweight, it's embarrassing to go to the doctors. You don't want to deal with your doctor who last year told you to lose weight and you didn't. So if you could go to a different doctor and that person is trained a little bit more in giving you helpful advice and being encouraging, you know, yeah, like, that's going to encourage people to go. Or if someone's going to look at the obvious and be like, well, you have pneumonia, so it's not that relevant that you need to lose weight. That's a tomorrow problem. You know, I think bedside manner is hard to teach. So sometimes just the person being a stranger will have benefits in medicine. And hopefully with all this monitoring, you know, I'm not wearing it now, but I'm almost always wearing a Fitbit and I sleep in it. In theory, you could use that to create exercise programs for me to show me what I'm doing wrong in my day. My day is clearly 6 hours of nothing followed by an hour of workout, followed by more sitting on the couch working. So, like, a doctor could say, geesh, can you get up? Could you walk more? Could you maybe eat more often instead of a lot at night? Perhaps you should sleep more than 3 hours a night. You know, so yeah, all that stuff is coming.
Yeah. Makes you wish you had a treadmill desk, doesn't it?
We do at the Fool office, but I'm sadly only there a day or so a month.
Well, Dan, if you don't mind, I want to go to commercial break, but I want to talk to you about another issue on the technology front. So will you stick around?
Happy to do that.
And when we come back, Dan stays with us and we shift gears to talk about a lawsuit that Facebook is facing right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Well, welcome back. As many of you know, Facebook is one of a number of organizations that have faced data breaches in the past. And now it's also facing a very large class action lawsuit. But what does it mean? And how can you protect your online data? And Dan Klein from The Motley Fool is still with us. Remember, it's Technology Tuesday. Dan, I want to switch gears. We talked about healthcare. Let's talk about Facebook and let's talk about some of these data breaches. What are your thoughts on this lawsuit, this class action lawsuit facing Facebook?
So I don't want to say that lawsuits are nonsense, because obviously there might be some wrongdoing here and there should be remedy. But the reality is, with class action lawsuits, especially when it's around handling of data, the remedy is changing how you handle data. You getting $1.85 in a settlement from Facebook because they let somebody inadvertently see your records doesn't benefit you all that much. Facebook changing how it secures its data is really important. So I think as a consumer, you have to get over the hype. You hear data breach and you think, yeah, oh my God, I've got to cut up all my credit cards. You got to really listen. So if your Facebook data was breached, change your Facebook password. Be wary about friend requests from people you're already friends with. You know, and look, that happens. Like, maybe I change accounts and if you see that a bunch of our friends are friends, or ask me. But with all of these things, it's about practicing sort of best practices. So I joke about this, but don't keep your passwords in a notebook with the title password written on top of it. Now, I know you have 10 different passwords. Like, I got a new iPhone the other day, and literally it took me like 15 minutes to figure out like what my Starbucks password was, because I didn't want to reset it because I have it in multiple devices. And that's kind of a pain. And I have sort of a secret system where I do write them down in different places and you wouldn't know what they were. And maybe what I have written is a memory trigger instead of the actual password. But it becomes ridiculously complicated because, yeah, I have a bunch of credit cards and a bunch of bank accounts and business stuff and personal stuff. And everything requires, you know, two-factor authentication. My favorite one is, I was on a Southwest plane trying to buy Wi-Fi, and PayPal tried to two-step identify me, and they said, well, you can have an email or a text. Well, I'm on a plane. I'm trying to get internet. I can't have an email or a text. It simply doesn't work. So, you know, you have to be smart about it. You have to be proactive. If your password is your kid's name or your dog's name or your favorite sports team, change it. On sensitive things, use the password that they create and have it saved in your chain. And if you have to reset it, it's not the end of the world. And really, the last most important thing is check your statements. You know, if you look at your credit card statement and you go like, I don't remember spending $12.99 at that company, call your credit card company and they might say, well, that's actually a restaurant that you ate at. That's not their business name. So the account's in something else. It's probably legit. But if it isn't, it is always better to know immediately. You generally have 30 days, but if you contact your bank right away, they're going to be more receptive to the idea that, like, oh, wow, no, you're on top of it and this is wrong. And a lot of times it's not wrong and they're used to that too.
Well, Dan, in the case of PayPal, did they give it to the pilot who then gave it to the flight attendant who handed you the password?
So sadly, in that case, I had to pull out a credit card. And it sounds like, how hard is that? But you know how tight plane seats were.
Right.
I was in a middle seat next to two people who I think were a pro wrestling tag team based on their size. They were big people. And I'm not the smallest guy. So getting my wallet out of my jeans was like a work of contortionism. So that's why I was trying to pay via PayPal. And look, there are flaws in the systems. We use a security system at Motley Fool that sometimes can be confounding and lock you out of your email, and it requires frequent password changes, and you can't use old passwords, and it's very tricky. But we're in the early days of figuring this out, so avoid the hype. Like, yeah, when they're leading the news with data breach, scary, they're trying to scare you. Think about every place you shop. Target has been breached a couple of times. Equifax, which holds your credit card information, was breached. For most people, this didn't impact you, other than you probably got a new credit card in the mail if you happened to use it at a place that was impacted.
Just to bring it back to healthcare real quick, Dan, you mentioned Equifax and you mentioned personal data, so Social Security number, name, address. Do we ever get to a point where bioinformatic data, information gathered by, for example, the new Amazon Care platform or Teladoc or someone, that gets out there? Is that a vulnerability?
It is, only because there's aspects of your health you might not want people to know. You know, you might be a cancer survivor, and maybe you don't want to talk about that when you're applying for jobs. And if it's out there, you know, that's unfortunately can be a black mark against you. Maybe you're pregnant and you haven't told your boss yet because you're waiting for 4 months, or you know it's going to be a troubling pregnancy and you're not ready to disclose. There's definitely sort of more of a ransom factor with certain healthcare statuses. And yeah, everything's going to get out there. It's very hard right now to be private. And we've talked about this. One of the big flaws in this is the government. Because I don't know if you've gone to your town, your city, a national U.S. government website. They're all websites from 1985. It seems like a smart kid could hack the Department of Defense or the IRS or any of these places. And I'm sure the back-end security is much better than I expect it to be. But my guess is it's not anywhere near on par with, say, Spotify. So if like a place like Spotify or Facebook can get breached, you kind of have to assume your Social Security number can get breached as well.
Yeah. And in fact, there have been several government breaches as well. So they're not immune. Dan, always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for joining us this morning on Technology Tuesday. Now go get some rest.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, folks, that wraps up this episode of BRNAM. Hey, have a financial topic or someone of interest that you think we should interview? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for more retirement news, check out today's edition of The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.